Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the People Matters radio show. I'm your host, Savita Vijayan. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are really grateful to have so many of you listening to our program this afternoon. This is our first episode of the third season of the Talking Matters radio show, bringing to you HR leaders that are transforming the face of HR with their work. It's such a pleasure to bring them all live to you in our program to learn about their journey, their learnings, and their message to our community. Before I introduce you to our guest, I'm sure that you have all been waiting for, let me remind you that the show can be followed on Twitter using the hashtag #TalkingMatters3, since it's a season 3, TalkingMatters3. Please share your comments, your feedbacks, your questions that we can take it live with our speaker so we can have them live on air. Today we have with us on show Mr. Yogi Sriram, Senior Vice President, Corporate HR, Larsen & Toubro Limited. Yogi has had 38 years of experience in the human resource function, out of which 23 years are in the leading HR teams in companies of major significance. He has been earlier associated with Asia Brown, Bovary Limited, BP, and the Taj Group. He's an unusual HR professional that we all know of, very unusual, closely working with business and handling over 26 businesses. He has been a Maharashtra state-level chess champion. He can resonate himself very well with the YouTube band song, which is, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you, Yogi, on the show. Welcome, Yogi.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Pleasure to be here and feeling very curious about what's going to happen next. So let's go.
Thank you so much. So how are you feeling at the moment? It's the first show for you, a radio show for you. How do you feel at the moment?
I'm in a bar at the moment and I'm drinking water. And I'm feeling sane, alive and very, very alert.
Great. We will start with the first question straight away into our discussion. Remember to submit your questions on Twitter using the hashtag #TalkingMatters3, as we will continuously take questions from Twitter to the program. So, Yogi, I'm starting with the first question already. So what are some of your early influences in your life that shaped you where you are today?
I think one of the episodes that influenced my life was when I traveled abroad when I was fairly young. I was just about 9 years old, and I had the good fortune to travel to UK, Switzerland, and Italy. And I do remember the various cultures that I had a chance to witness, to talk to people who were elder to me, but had different viewpoints because they belonged to different countries, they spoke different languages, and perhaps the value of diversity was perhaps first realized in my mind through that traveling experience. And also during that traveling experience, I was taken by my parents to a big shop, toy shop called Hamleys in London, where I was asked to choose a toy of my choice. And I was very overwhelmed because there were six floors of toys. If you've been to the Hamleys in Regent Street, it's one of the largest Hamleys in the world. And the Hamleys hadn't come to India at that time. And I felt very overwhelmed. And I told my parents that I don't know what toy to buy. So I realized at that time that all the answers do not necessarily, you know, are not known to one, all the answers to whatever one wants, and one can always depend on others. So there's nothing wrong in asking, but what do you think? The third was when I serendipitously discovered this institute where I did my post-graduation, a master's in human resources in Tata Institute of Social Sciences. I was in a double-decker bus near Haji Ali. I had finished my college in Sriram College of Commerce, enjoying my vacation, and was all set to do a master's in economics in Delhi School because those days doing IAS and stuff was in. But I found this person next to me leafing through a brown and yellow brochure, and I asked, what is that about? And he told me about the Tata Institute. And I just took a pot shot after that at the entrance exam, and the rest is history. So what I did learn is that sometimes the opportunity may be knocking at your door, and you have to be quick in grabbing it and be curious. Yeah.
Wow, great. Just a continuing question. What got you where you are today? So what are the ingredients of success as a leader that you have at the moment, today?
I think I'm very meticulous. I think I'm meticulous to the point of being punctilious. So my day is, my way of working and my days are very, very organized and structured. I think I'm very determined. In the face of adversity, I don't get intimidated. I think it's very important to know that human resources is not for the weak, for those who don't have a strong spine. It's a function that is sometimes comes under the heat of line managers, and you have to stand up. And I think what is very important is to develop a kind of a emotional quotient to sublimate your feelings at that moment, to sort it out in your mind, be analytical, step back, and, you know, make a decision or say something that makes sense instead of getting carried away with emotions, which are important, but controlling them is very important. So I think being dogged, because change management and HR don't happen if you flit around from one company to another and do not have the patience. So it's the patient accumulation of successes, which I think is very important, which I've learned over the years.
Wow, great. We already have a couple of questions that are coming up on Twitter. So I'd like to take one which is very in the flow of what we are at the moment. So Sanjay Negi is asking, what's your biggest leadership lessons learned so far?
When I realize that I'm saying something to someone and not listening fully to what the person has to say, and then realizing, oh God, have I really listened fully? And then the next time, the habit lasts for quite some time till I make the mistake again. The habit is, God, give me the strength to respect the person in front of me for whatever he has or she has, which I may not have. It doesn't matter which strata of society the person comes from. And I realize that every person whom I've met on the surface of this earth has something that I do not have. And I think that realization is very, very profound for me. And it's very impactful, because when you find that competence, or you find that trait, or you find that characteristic, that insight is very refreshing and very soul purifying.
Wow. Is this related to any, what are your greatest struggle as a leader, and how do you manage them? Anything that is with this the biggest leadership lesson that you've learned, or it's something very different?
I think corporate life is all about managing dichotomies. It's getting a fine balance. And let me give you an example. Sometimes when you hire a senior leader into the organization, what is more important? Does the leader change to fit the culture, or does the leader bring a bit of culture which should make the organization change? These are dichotomies, and these are balances that one has to manage all the time. It could also have something to do with head and heart in HR decisions. Many times one is confronted with decisions which are, you know, nice decisions with respect to what people want, but are decisions that may be seen as tough because the business is not doing well. Mm-hmm. I think the greatest struggle is to get a balance between what may seem as an extreme and do whatever is correct in the gray. The second is, I think there are only 24 hours in a day, and managing oneself, not managing time, but managing oneself and having a certain sense of discipline to extract the best of those 24 hours is a constant struggle that I'm having. Because during the, you know, waking hours, during the time when one is in office, especially in my profession as a HR leader, one has to spend a lot of time on people, listening to them, talking to them, talking to groups, addressing groups. And the email is, you know, piling up. So managing one's time to make sure, or managing oneself, to make sure that you're not, you know, overdoing it on any one activity is a great struggle. So I spend a great amount of time in planning my day. Mm-hmm. And that's how I manage it.
Wow, great. So the balance that you mentioned of having with the 24 hours, not with the time, but managing oneself, that's something really good that we can take away from this. Right now, we are in conversation with Yogi Sriram, Senior Vice President, Corporate Human Resource, Larsen & Toubro Limited. Tweet your questions on Twitter handle using the hashtag #TalkingMatters3, or email us your questions as well to my inbox, savita.vijayan@peoplematters.in. We'll go straight away to the next question. So what is one of the key lessons that you've learned in your life along the way? It could be your personal experience. It could be a professional lesson that you have learned. So what is the key lesson that you have learned?
I'm more of a future person than a past person. So I try not to brood about decisions that were taken, some of which may have gone right, some of which may not have gone right. But what I do is I try to, at the end of the day, end of the week, end of the month, not on any assigned day, pretty often introspect as to what I could have done better. And I think it's very important to list down in one's mind the incremental improvements. The second is, I think if one is achievement-oriented, then who isn't? It's important to set goals for oneself, because life is, for me, more like golf. I compete with myself and not with others. So therefore, I guess it's a philosophy, maybe it's a phase of life, that I think the joy of competing with yourself and outdoing whatever you did earlier better is much more productive and fruitful as compared to comparing yourself with others. So I think the key lesson in life is that comparisons are not a great idea. India is the country where social comparisons are very common. You're compared with your cousins, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles. All the time when you sit down for breakfast, lunch, dinner, families put a lot of stress about, look at that cousin of yours who went to IIT or IIM, and why didn't you? I think discovering your true north and casting your vote for that is very important. So therefore, what I've learned is a compass is as important as a watch. The compass gives you direction. Most of us look at only our watch, you know. We're just concerned about the time. I think the direction is very important.
Wow. Great. I have a next question for you, which is, do you have any stop doing or a not to do list? And what falls in that if you have?
Well, in my stop doing list, I think sometimes I'm over punctilious, which means that, take for example, you know, my own home. My wife is of a particular type. She is perhaps not as obsessive about how, you know, I keep my things. I get very upset even if a pencil is missing from the phone, if I kept it in a particular angle. So I'm very ENTJ in terms of the J part, and just to use an MBTI expression. So I guess I need to become more tolerant of, you know, people around me who are more, who leave their workspaces in a little different manner. It's more lived in and stuff. Even when I travel, I mean, my travel is so structured. It has to be from place X to place Y at a particular time, and I've got to finish so-and-so things at certain times. I've got to finish so many photographs at that time and so on. So I guess I need to loosen up a little bit on being over-structured and, you know, just going with the flow. Maybe that's... I think it's important to find what you want to find, even when you're not so structured, as compared to finding what you're finding or getting lost sometimes when you're so structured. I'm just giving a contra distinction between the two.
Great. That's an interesting stop doing list that you have. We have a couple of questions in my inbox and also on Twitter, so I'd like to take one here at the moment. So one question is, what should be the mindset of a fresher while he or she starts his first job? Any advice, suggestions for freshers that you may have?
First of all, don't start with any mindsets in terms of what the herd is doing. I mean, there's huge social pressure. I think go by your heart. I think it's very important to have a sense of direction of what is my learning goal, not what does my visiting card say after 5 years. It doesn't matter whether your visiting card is manager or assistant manager. If your learning goal is, let's say, an HR professional, and you want to learn about a particular subject, like, say, employee stock options, and you want to master it, make up your mind about what will give you the opportunity to do that. And compensation, career goals in terms of elevations, etc., will just follow. I also think it's very important to think about what you could learn from your present job by not being too restless. It's important to ask questions. It's important to be inquisitive. It's important to contribute. And I think be yourself at the end of the day. Don't be carried away by comparisons. I think most young people today live in a hugely competitive world. And once you come out of colleges and B-schools and things, you probably carry the program of being competitive. Be competitive, but also enjoy yourself in terms of learning. I also think it's very important not to stop reading. Many people stop reading as much as they would read in these schools and colleges. It's very intense, you know, those 2 years they do case studies and stuff. I think it's good to pick up good biographies and good literature, good text, and of course keep in touch with social psychology and, you know, good articles, and also spar with them. And finally, it's important, I think, for you as young people to interact with people older than you and superior to you in terms of level. My theory is when you do that, you go up to that level.
Great. Thank you so much. I hope this question actually came up quite a lot of times on Twitter and also in my inbox. So that answers quite a lot of them's questions. There's another interlinked question that has come in my inbox, which is when you took the first step in the ladder and took the managerial position, what were your key challenges and how did you tackle them?
I was all of 22 and I joined Associated Cement Companies My first job was an employee relations job, what they call is also industrial relations. It was in a cement factory, very remote, 22 kilometers north of Chandigarh. There were 3,000 workmen, and the factory had 3,000 workmen, and the quarry from which the limestone had used to come had another 3,000. My immediate boss, who was 44 and I was not yet 22, fell ill. He had a very, very serious problem, and he landed up in hospital. So I ended up as the in charge of the factory and the quarry for all personnel and industrial relations, as it used to be called those days at the age of 21 and a half or 22. And the union leader came to me and said that, you know, you are as old as my grandson. So I said, yes, I am, but... you know, we have some discussions to do, and even your grandson, if he was sitting in my chairs, would deserve to be listened to. So the next thing that he did was he took out a little bottle from his pocket and tossed it on the, you know, on the table and said, there's some gravel inside that. And he said that came out of the dal today. So I managed to keep my cool because he was trying to set me up for getting flustered about, you know, a complaint and trying to intimidate. So I said, don't worry. I will sort that out. This is really bad. And we will make sure that the kind of dal that we buy is much better. So at the end of those that period when I was in ACC, the union was, you know, very close to me. I have great friends. It started with intimidation. It started with testing me out. And I think I survived those tests, so therefore they became good friends. Yeah.
Wow, great. Thank you, listeners. You're tuning in to Talking Matters, a monthly program that People Matters has every month. Right now we are in conversation with Yogi Sriram, Senior Vice President and Corporate Human Resource, Larsen & Toubro Limited. Yogi, the next question for you is, what is the advice you'd like to give your younger self?
My younger self is involved in a hobby which is very intense. I do scale model trains. I have 34 trains in my house. I fit transponders and electronic chips into them. And the advice I give to my younger self is, please don't grow up. This is very, very important for you. Your creativity, your curiosity of reading circuit diagrams, of using bridge rectifiers, of using capacitors, resistors, and revisiting Ohm's law and understanding about electronics is very, very important. You are so engaged, younger self, with what you're doing. Your concentration increases multiply because you're doing something which is extremely intense. It helps you to unwind. So my advice to my younger self is, please definitely don't grow up.
Great. What keeps you motivated and what keeps you going on? What's next for you?
I think contributing to my profession has been my constant endeavor. Positioning HR to create value in business has been my constant endeavor. So, I would like to make a difference at any point of time in whatever I'm doing. So very specifically, what I would like to do is to first of all remove the myth that there is a big deal in managing the millennials. I think there are too many seminars and too much of HR talk that the millennials are different. I'm a baby boomer and I find there are remarkable differences between me and millennials. So I'd like to write a paper when I get the time about the similarities and not the differences. I'm also extremely respectful to those who are the millennials and the younger people. So I think I'd like to celebrate the youth and do some serious research in terms of why they are so valuable. I also think that what I'm motivated to do is to understand how businesses can get into their Horizon 2, which is much more about digital transitions, SMAC, Internet of Things. What kind of people will be involved in making those things happen, you know? What kind of diversity will be required? How do teams work and enmesh with each other? So I have an intense desire to go deeper into, you know, a subject which I love, which is team building and understanding team dynamics. I spent many years in trying to do that. So I'd like to get back to doing that and doing some serious research on that.
Very interesting. We have a couple of more questions, but we just have 4 minutes to go. The clock is ticking. I'd like to take one question out of these by Kamlesh Thakur, which is your experience about the training domain in business. What are the three key advices for the L&D professionals that you would like to give?
There is an obsessive kind of a concern about measuring training inputs. And there are various techniques. And the best way for getting stumped is to get, foxed by questions that are asked about how do you see this training program, helping me in my bottom line, PAT and stuff, which line managers often pose. Mm-hmm. I think it's futile to try and get a very, very quantitative metric for training. It's not the kind of training that we are talking about only for workmen, where you're trying to do safety training and then you measure the number of accidents that happened last year and this year. That's, of course, quantitative, but all training is not like that. So what is important is to choose the right kind of training that feeds into the strategy of the company and do that wave after wave. Do that with consistency. Pick up 3 or 4 or 5 programs. Don't crowd your training calendar just because performance appraisal forms have perforated sheets which have wish lists which are very, very long. I think you'll have a very scattered kind of effort, and what learning and development is doing will be a bit of mumbo jumbo and a big mystery to people. Therefore, choose a few programs and go after that with a theme year after year.
I hope Kalpesh, in fact, has got his answer. I would want to ask one more question, which is, what does success mean to you?
Conquering yourself, being in total control of yourself, which means that being on top of your job, going prepared for meetings, and growing the respect for this function so that, it always earns the credibility, you're asked for your views, and you position HR to create value. So success means to me being on top of whatever you're doing and being in control of yourself, being disciplined, and also it means finding that sweet spot of balance and not getting carried away by views and not getting carried away by too much of criticism and so on. So carrying your own portfolio of competencies and carrying your own weather in a briefcase, your weather meaning your moods in a briefcase, and being in control of that and making a choice is success.
Wow. There's one more question. I think this is the last question that we could take, but I would definitely want to take this question up. It's come in my inbox, and which is, who will you credit as a mentor in your life, and what role does a mentorship play in your life of professional, according to you?
One of the most powerful mentors in my life is my present superior and boss. His name is Mr. A.N. Nayak. He's the group executive chairman of the Larsen & Toubro group of companies. He's been in the company for 51 years, and his own story is very, very inspiring. He grew from a very junior officer to someone who's leading the entire group. And he tells us very openly about various episodes. So he has a set of competencies that are worth emulating. So I have different mentors for different things, but for the question that you asked and for the time that we have, perhaps I should state that he's one of the most powerful mentors I've had.
Wow, thank you so much. This has been absolutely thrilling, and I wish I would have another at least 15, 20 minutes to ask some more questions. We have some unanswered questions on Twitter and my inbox. With that, thank you all listeners for sharing your thoughts, your questions, and identifying the key takeaways from the radio show this afternoon with a larger community with so much of generosity. With this, we come to an end of a super exciting radio show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Yogi, for being a fantastic guest. A very big thank you to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, each one of you, for tuning in today live on air. Look forward to tuning again next month with Prateek Kumar, CEO, Wipro Infrastructures Limited. And look forward to learning more and more from celebrities like these and inspiring our lives to be as successful as them with the entire humility and modesty they carry. With this, ladies and gentlemen, we close our radio show for today. Wish you all a great and a very inspiring day ahead. Thank you.